I think this topic about stewardship is an amazing topic, and it's one that absolutely changed my life, understanding these principles and these concepts that we're going to go through this morning. I hope that will inspire you, encourage you. It's not, oh gosh, oh geez. No, this is life principles that are very, very, very powerful. So, you know, we talk about stewardship. It's a very important part of our faith and our relationship with Christ. We are all allotted different amounts of resources and will one day be accountable for how we use them all. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and it's going to be, hey, how did you use all that I gave you? What did you do with it? You're going to have to go, well, were you selfish, selfless? How did you do it? Were you generous? Were you greedy? What were you? What are you? What do you want to be? I know that the Lord has changed me in a lot of areas and a lot of attitudes in my journey with the Lord. And I'm so thankful that He has. I put stewardship, a faith-filled adventure. How many people like adventure? I like adventure. How many people like the excitement of day-to-day boredom? I want adventure. I want something different, something new, something exciting, something, wow, Lord, what are you doing? And I'll tell you what, if you listen to His voice and listen to our Master's voice and we're a good steward of all that He has for us, it is an adventure every single day. It's this excitement to walk with Christ. It's fun. It's energetic. It's exciting. It's faith-filled. It's an adventure. I want to talk about the adventure of being a steward of God's resources. In the video, it pulled out Psalm 21 or 24:1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." So basically, God therefore owns the earth, right? And He owns everything in the earth, which includes the dwellers in the earth. And we would be classified, I think, as dwellers, right? We're the dwellers here. We're the dwellers in the story. He owns the earth, all of its resources, and everything in it, including us. He owns us. We own nothing. But it's my life. And I can do with it what I want. Because it's mine. Not really. It isn't yours. You may think that, but actually it's not your life. You wouldn't be breathing here if you go, it's just mine all by myself. Let me tell you what, if it was all by yourself and you asked the Lord to exit there, take His breath with Him and you would fall down dead, right? Without the Lord giving us life, we have no life. When He breathed into Adam and man became a living being, a living soul, I'll tell you what, that's what He did for all of us. We have that breath of life. Whether we're serving God or not, His breath is in us that allows us to move and have our being. It's all because of God. It's not because of you. You belong to God whether you're saved or not, whether you know it or not. You still belong to God. You're still His. You own nothing. Nothing. Saved people are supposed to have this revelation. Unsaved people don't. They just think they're still their own, even though they're not. But saved people are supposed to have this revelation. Wait a second. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Oh, I don't serve and live for me. I live for my Master, the King. I mean, all of these principles, we're supposed to begin to understand that you own nothing. He owns everything. He's given you lots, though, to play with. He's a pretty good dad, you know? He's given us a lot of stuff. But He owns everything. We own nothing. Nothing. But He allows us to use His stuff. I just think that's pretty cool of God. He allows us to use it. Pretty nice of Him. But again, you own. I don't think you're convinced of that. You own.
Nothing.
You own.
Nothing.
That old jalopy, that old piece of junk that you have as a car, it's not yours anyway. You're on bum, 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 going, oh man. You own this thing? Nope, I don't own it. I wouldn't own this thing. No, God owns it. That nice car you have, hey, He owns that one too. He owns everything. He owns it all. Once you begin to understand, He owns everything. Everything. You, everything. It makes it a whole lot easier to be a good steward. Actually, it makes it exciting. But God wants us to use His stuff rightly and according to His purposes. He doesn't want you to break His stuff. Have you ever loaned your stuff out to somebody and it came back a mess? And you went, last time I'm going to let you borrow that, you whatever. I mean, you kind of, when you're giving stuff out and you're loaning stuff out to people, you want it to come back, what, in better condition than what you loaned it out. We always do that when we go to a camp. We go to a camp, we want it to look better than when we got at the camp, right? So we want to have this reputation that does that. In the same way, God, when He gives you stuff, He wants you to take good care of it. He wants you to advance it, to grow it, to make it better. He wants you to do something good with what He's given you. Not just abuse it, wreck it, mess it up. Whether it be your own life or the stuff He's given you. He doesn't want you to abuse your life, mess up your life, wreck it. He wants you to grow it and steward it and become the man or woman of God He's destined for you to become and given you all the resources to do it. He wants to grow us. He wants to grow us. If it comes back all wrecked, you got to go, bummer, man. I know how it makes me feel. I don't want God to feel that way about what I'm doing with His life that He's given me. I don't want to do that with what He's called me to do and the stuff that He's, the resources He's given me. I want Him to be proud of me. I want Him to go, wow, thank you. I want to give you more stuff, man. You take good care of the stuff that I've given you. That's what being a stewardship is all about. I want to give you a number of observations. I had five, but I think there's more than that in here. And we're going to go through a number of things, so I don't know how you're going to understand the order, but here it is. A steward, first observation, you already know it. A steward owns
nothing.
Hallelujah. You know how freeing that is? This ain't my house. This isn't my church. I mean, there's an aspect of freedom in it as well, rather than, I got to make it all good. There's a freedom of knowing that you don't own it. But you're a good steward of it, and you want to take good care of it. He's taking some of the pressure away from us. The word steward, it means a house distributor. That's what the Greek word here means. A house distributor, a manager, or overseer, an employee in that capacity, a fiscal agent or a treasurer. My second point is a steward is a manager of God's stuff. You manage His stuff. You get to manage it. You don't own it, but you get to use it. That's pretty cool, right? You don't own it, but you get to use it. You know, I have a couple of years ago, we bought these old jet skis. And so I got these jet skis, and my boys love playing on the jet skis, right? So, and they think it's pretty cool because you know how much money they put into the jet skis? Nothing. You know what? They don't own them. But guess what? They get to use them. And they like the fact they get to use them. As a matter of fact, we've let a lot of people use them because we think it's what God would want us to do with the stuff you have and bless other people. But I'm saying that sometimes we get to use His stuff and we don't even own it. Lord, You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. You're so great. Wait a second. But I bought that with my own... What? How much money do you own? Huh? None! You don't have any. Wait a second, I worked for this. I know, isn't that awesome? And how much of it do you own? None! It's all been given to you by God. We get this mentality that we did some stuff and therefore we earned it. I'm going, who gave you the breath to earn it, the legs to earn it, the hands to earn it, the mind to earn it, the will to earn it? Who gave you all of that? It's His. And when we get the idea that I earned it, it's mine, it's not yours. You own nothing. But He is so gracious to allow you to use everything that He's got. What an incredible God. What an incredible God. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, it says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found what? Next point, a steward must be faithful to the vision of the one he is employed by. Not faithful to your own vision, but faithful to the one who gave you all the stuff. Hi, I've given you your life. I've given you these finances. I've given you time. I've given you all of this stuff. Now, here's what I want you to do. Wait a second. This is mine. I want to do this, this, and this. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's not yours. If we could get mine out of the equation, what do we hate to hear a two-year-old say? This is mine. Now, did we train him in that? Did we tell him, hey, listen, I want you to know that this is yours. When somebody grabs it, you say, this is mine. Do we ever tell them that? Does anybody ever train on your children and tell them, this is mine? How does that come out of them? All of a sudden, no training, no nothing, 2 years old, mine. They've already got it down. Mine. You have nothing. Some two-year-olds getting it out there. Mine! This is mine! I'll tell you what, when you hear a two-year-old saying that, do you kind of go, oh, I taught them that. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you love their spirit? Look at their spirit. They just have such a dominating and powerful and don't care about anybody's spirit. I just love it. That's my kid. No, we don't say that, do we? No, you share. You share with Bobby. Give him your thing. You know, blah, 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 blah. We make him share it, right? Well, when you, older person, start going, this is mine. I earned it. I bought it. I paid for it. You're icky, right? You got an icky spirit. And nobody likes an icky spirit. All right? So get mine out of the equation. It's not yours. It's God's. It's God's. But He's so great that He's allowing you to play with it, to use it, to advance it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, He wants you to be faithful to the vision and of the one employed. You got to do what God wants you to do. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. My fourth point is this. A steward must minister to others the gifts he has received. Oh, these are all for me. Thank you, Lord. No. These are all for you to use to give out to other people. Oh my gosh! How fun! I gotta see how much I can give out to people. Now, if you have that spirit, it's awesome. If you have that, what? This isn't, no, you can't say that word. There is no mind. This isn't, owned by the person in front of it. No! God's got it. It's His. There is no mine. There is no mine. You don't have mine because there is none to have. You get to minister out what God's given to other people. How He wants to use it. How He wants to bless other people. Man, don't you bless somebody and you just put a smile on their face and just go, wow, that's awesome. I love that. Just do something that just they didn't expect. And all of a sudden, someone who's a sinner and is struggling with God sees how nice God is in you and decides that maybe I want to become like you and gives their life to Christ. A steward of God's resources. Now, since we're a steward, we know what a steward is. Now, I want to talk to you about the resources we have that He's given us. And God's resources to you are your time, your talents, and your treasure, which make up your entire life, basically. I know I'm dividing it into three. We could divide it into more than that. I'm saying that what it is, it's your entire life, all you possess, or I should say, all that you're using from the Lord. Stewardship is about our whole realm of existence. It's about your daily life, your family life, your work life, your leisure life. It affects every aspect of our lives, our health, our parenting, our marriage and relationships. You see, everything is from God and is to be properly stewarded for God. Everything is from God and is to be properly stewarded for God. Everything, all of you, your entire being A steward guides and governs his life, every aspect of it, with the leading and anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what we get to do as Spirit-filled people. We get to hear the voice of God. We get to hear what He's saying in our quiet time, in our prayer. As we're walking, we begin to learn and discern the voice of God. And He starts orchestrating what we need to do with our resources and what we need to do with stuff and who we're supposed to bless and go over there and do that. Hey, give this person that. Hey, help that person there. Hey, go and serve. We begin this dynamic adventure of listening to His voice and then beginning to allocate our resources of what we have and who we are in the plan and purposes of God. And that is an adventure. But if it's all mine, it's not an adventure. It's a downer. Who wants to be around a mine person? Mine. Get out of here. It's an adventure. God's resources for you to steward. Let me go through. I said number one, time. Time. The years God is allowing you to live on this earth. Time. Go like this. Exhale. That felt good. It doesn't feel good when you don't do that. That breath of life is a gift from God. Is it your time or His time? Whose time is it? Whose time? His time. God wants you to steward it, to manage your time. What are you doing with the time God has given you? Some people complain about time. There's never enough time. Some people waste time and you can never get it back. We waste so much time, we do. And again, I'm all for fun and games and all of that stuff, but let me just share one thought here. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody in particular. I got this call from a parent who was renting something from us. His dad called and said, "Hey, my son, I don't know if he can be in the place." And I go, "Why?" And he goes, "Because he's failing school." And I go, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." And he goes, "Well, I know why he's failing school." And I go, "Oh, why is that?" And he goes, "Because he games every night. All he does is game with his friends all night long, and doesn't do any of his other stuff." And I said, "I'm really sorry to hear that." I'm saying that gaming or television or entertainment or all sorts of things that I think are proper and their proper amount. I'm not against gaming. I think, hey, if you want to game, awesome. Be refreshed by it. If you're refreshed by it, to do great. What was that? Well, I didn't hear it. Oh, Freddie likes the game. Oh, is he a gamer? Okay. But what I'm saying is, make sure that you're asking the Lord, is this okay? Is this okay? I think He wants you to energize and be refreshed by certain things, by all sorts of stuff that we do out there. But also remember, who does your time belong to? And you can't get it back. I'll tell you what, if you're wasting time in gaming, your parents aren't going to be happy with you. God's not going to be happy with you. You're not going to be happy with you. Well, all of a sudden, you know, unless you become one of those gamers that makes hundreds of thousands of dollars, I saw something, I just saw this briefly, so I know what I'm talking about. There was a bunch of gamers and they were in a stadium and they were playing these games on screens and everybody was watching them. Is that true? Does that happen? The guy's making $150,000 to game. I'm going, and we sit here and watch him and I'm going, I'm not doing anything. Watching a fake person do a fake thing. It's just, anyway. I'm just not up to speed here. I'm just, you know, of course some people would say, you watch golf, you're watching a fake person doing a fake thing. So it's the same stuff. Now football, hey. Those are real people doing real stuff. All right. Huh? What else? Go Hawks. Yeah. Basketball? Not until the playoffs. I just want to see the championship game. Okay. That's all I want to see. They don't become real until they're No, and I know we have a golfer here. I'm not saying that we have an amazing golfer here. He won his last tournament, by the way. Do you know that? He won the last tournament that he played in as he plays for Pullman High School. Awesome, dude. You're amazing. I love the golf too, so it's good. All right, so so I don't get into too much trouble here. I think the main thing is to make sure that we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, so we're investing wisely. Wise investment, wise investment, wise investment, wise investment. Now, here's what I have to say about this young man is this. His investment into golf is going to probably earn him a full-ride scholarship. So I think that's pretty wise investment that you're doing. Now, when I was golfing, it gains nothing, right? I get nothing, frustration, all of that. But I guess fresh air is what's good. So no, I'm just joking here. Steward your time well. Someday it will all be over and you can't get it back. Live your life with no regrets. Amen. Number two, what are your resources? Your talents. The abilities God has gifted you with. He's gifted you with all sorts of potential, all sorts of innate abilities. All sorts of stuff is inside there, just kind of waiting to come out, to be developed and to grow. God's gifted you with certain abilities and skills and understandings and things that you can do. And some He gave you at the start, and some you've acquired with learning and hard work and determination, all of which God gave you as well. All of it's from God. You know, we talk about in the Carpenter series these strengths and talents that you have with Strengths Finder, and you should go and find out all of those things, because there's many of them that you possess. But you are blessed by God with aptitudes and qualities and personalities and gifts. God has made you unique, and He's empowered you, and He's given you talent, and He's given you so much stuff, and He wants you to use it and to grow it. In Matthew 25, it talks about the parable of the talents. I think we all know that. There's these three servants or three stewards of the master, which I'll call God. There's three stewards there. And the first servant, he's given five talents. The second one is given two talents. The third one is given one talent. And the guy with the five talents, the first servant or steward, he takes his talents and he puts them into action. He acquires five more talents. He uses, he grows, he develops his God-given stuff for God. And as a result, he's rewarded. And it says this about his reward. His Lord said to him, "Well done. Good job. I gave you all the nice job with what I've given you. Good and faithful servant or steward. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." What happened here? He got rewarded. What did he get rewarded with? He got rewarded with more. He got increase, right? He got more. He also got authority. He becomes a ruler over stuff. He's given more authority. And then he's given what? Enjoyment. Hey, this is awesome, man. I'm having a great time. The second servant, he puts his two talents into action and requires two more. He uses and grows and develops his God-given talents, and as a result, he's rewarded. And you know what he gets? The same thing. He had two talents, doubled into four. The Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He says the same exact thing to him. Now you go, wait a second. This guy had more to start with. He was faithful with what he had. This guy maybe didn't have as much or different type of giftings, but he was faithful in advancing the giftings that God gave him. You see, we're all different. We all have different giftings. It's not like, "Oh, you're a fiver and I'm a twoer." No, that's not what it is. It's about being faithful. It's about being faithful with what God has given you. And so he gets the same result, increase. He gets more. He gets authority. He gets enjoyment. He gets all of that. It's not based on the number of talents, but on faithfulness. You did with what you had to the full extent, and you were faithful with it. You were a faithful steward. The third servant, remember him? He got one talent. And it says this in verse 25. "And I was afraid and went and I hid your talent in the ground." He knew whose talent it was. "I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." You gave me this. Hey, I'm going to give it back to you. Hey, you got it. He did nothing with it. He didn't grow it. He didn't develop it. He didn't use it. As a matter of fact, he refused to use it. But the Lord answered him and said, "Well done, thou good and..." No, what did he say? He said, "You wicked and lazy." Oh, ouch. Double ouch. But he goes, "You wicked and lazy servant." He still understood he was a servant. "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited the money with the bankers at my coming. I would have received back my own with interest. You should have done something. Do something with what I gave you. Something with the life I've given you. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. And here's a point. What you don't use, you'll lose. If you're not going to develop what God's given you, he's going to give it away to somebody else. What you don't use, you lose. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. He'll have abundance. God takes good care of his servants, of his stewards. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the, now he titles this servant, unprofitable servant into outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The issue here is a faithful steward versus an unprofitable one. Faithful versus unprofitable. The word unprofitable, the Greek word here, means useless or worthless. You're worthless. Why? Because you didn't use it. It didn't mean you didn't have any worth. You took all the worth that I had in you and you refused to let it work. You refused to do something with it. You refused to study. You refuse to exercise your mind. You refuse to exercise discipline. You refuse to manage your time. You refuse to do. You refuse to make it happen. And therefore, he says, you were lazy and wicked. We all have to develop the talents that God has given us. But it's from the Lord. Our gift back to the Lord is what we do with it as we start utilizing it and developing it and growing it. And realizing that, hey, it's all from you, Lord. But I don't want to be a wicked servant. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be an unprofitable servant. I think unprofitable servant is an oxymoron. How can you be unprofitable servant? The idea of servant is you serve and do well. And I don't think they go together. Allow God to grow and develop the talents that he's given you by using them. Use them to advance the kingdom of God. Because the main reason he's given you life and breath and the future that he has for you is so that you would be a partner with him in advancing his kingdom. That his kingdom would grow, that more people would come in, that more would understand and have their lives changed, just like yours has been changed. I was listening to something, a podcast or something, and it came up to this word that said, I have done enough. I have done enough. And right after it, the person speaking said this, one person you don't want to hear that phrase from. You know who that is? God. I have done enough. Get out of here. I'm going to sit on the sidelines now and just watch you toil. I have done enough. I don't think, does anybody here hope that God says, hey, I have done enough for you. I'm gone. Do the rest by yourself. I don't know that anybody wants to hear the Lord say, I have done enough. Do you? No. There's one person that God does not want to hear that from. You know who that is? You. I've done enough, Lord. Jeez, man. I've done a lot. I've advanced. I've made 5 talents into 10 or into 5 more and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I have done enough. I don't believe the Lord ever wants to hear that coming out of our mouths. I'm done. Done enough. To say that is the opposite of what it means to be a steward. The third one, the third resource that he's given us is treasure. The finances are assets God has allowed you to have. The finances are assets that God's allowed you to have. Do you understand that all of your money is God's as well, right? How much money do you own? How much do you own? Some of us, literally, I own none. I mean, that's a positive statement. College student, I don't have any. It's minus in here. There's a big flat negative sign in here that says, not good. Hey, you don't own any of it. The cool thing is, hey, it's not my debt. That's God's debt. You know what, though? He will help you with it. He will. He'll help you with it. For sure. God doesn't need your money. Well, here we go on the money thing. If you've been around here long enough, you know that I very seldom ever talk on this. About finances or money. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need it. But your attitude somehow and your heart is somehow connected to this. Somehow your heart is connected to this little piece of paper. The almighty dollar, which is, I thought we were supposed to have the almighty God that we cared about. Now nobody cares about one of these. I could drop this and nobody would care. I do because I want that back. I'm still crazy. I pick up pennies on the ground. You know what pennies on the ground? You know why? Because when I pick it up, I go, in God I trust. And it just reminds me that I'm trusting God, not anything else in life. So I pick up pennies on the ground. You know, I'm just like that. And God, your heart is connected to this. Not to one of these. But if I start piling these up, and I start piling them up, pretty soon you start leaning toward the pile. Okay? I mean, it's like, one knot, two knot, three knot, 100 million, yeah, I can have that. I'm just saying, this is connected to your heart. Your heartstrings kind of, you know, it moves with this. You're connected right here. This is the little cord that you're connected to, right? This, you're connected to, and this reveals what's in there. This reveals what's in there. Because God doesn't need your money. It's His anyway. He understands that. But He knows that your attitude toward it makes a big difference to Him. It tells Him what's truly important to you and what's in your heart. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in. We should be heavenly minded, right? We should be thinking about advancing His kingdom. That's a heavenly principle. Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, where your mind is, where your thoughts are, where your treasure, what you treasure, what you value, what you'll do anything for, which I hope is your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what you'll do anything for, what you value, where your heart is, where your treasure is, you're going to find your heart attached to it will be there also. He's trying to get us with this. He understands, okay, you need that in order to live. Hey, I'm going to make a concept. We'll call it money. Okay, that sounds good. We'll call it money. Back there, they call it shekels, and they call it all sorts of stuff. We'll call it that, and then we'll make it so that people to eat need that. And then we'll need, if you want that, you need that, and we have to exchange that, and this and that, we'll move around that and that, and then we're going to cause this concept, the enemy comes and goes, he calls greed, and he's going to go, oh, I want a lot of those. I want a lot of those. Stack them up. Or then we got lust in there. Then we got all these things that happen over the love of that guy. You see, a steward hears the voice of the Holy Spirit telling him where to invest God's resources and then obeys and does it. How? Why does he do it cheerfully? Because God loves a 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he who spares, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Pretty good farming lesson. He's also talking about, what are you investing in? You invest a bunch in that, all of a sudden you get a bunch back. You invest not so much in that, you don't get so much back. He's trying to give us this principle. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, oh God, give me what I want this. This is mine. Don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love the word cheerful in the Greek here. It's hilaros. It's where we get the word hilarious. It's like, you know, do you do that when you're giving a tithe check or putting it in or putting it online? You go, ha, 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 ha. I just gave a bunch of money. Is that how you give? Or is it? I like the poor widow in there, I gave 2 mites, and oh my gosh, now it's gone. It's gone. I'll never have it again. Don't give like that. you're giving like that, keep it. You need it more. He loves a cheerful giver. You see, God evaluates your heart when you give. He evaluates your numbers you're adding in your head. Okay, how much is my... you want to get that much? Honey, that was a spur of the moment, and it appears that that moment was not the correct moment. My wife is looking at me like, I'm going to go to jail. You'll visit me? Oh, you'll... Okay. I'm just saying that some people have a hard time parting with it. If you're not hilarious and understand that God, he goes, I got more where that came from. Or I got more blessing. I got more stuff. I got more resources. I can help you with your health. I can help you with your relationships. I can do a lot of stuff. What's your heart attached to? What's your heart attached to? God evaluates your heart when you give. It's his testing process to find out what's really inside of you. Is your heart cheerful when you give your time to God? Is it cheerful when you give your talents for God? Is it cheerful when you give your tithes to God? He's looking and he's taking notice. Not only does he notice, he blesses when we do. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed here means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, or happy. And my next point about a steward is a spirit-led, spirit-following, spirit-obeying Christian doing what the Spirit has called him to do. Hence the adventure, a spiritual adventure, a spirit-led adventure. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life is the greatest adventure you can be on. And allowing God to bolster your faith so you believe him for the things the Spirit has asked you to do. He's going to ask you to do something. I don't have it to do. Take a step. Take a step and see what God will supply. I don't have the talents. Take a step. Take a step. I don't have the time. Take a step. Take a step. Follow the Lord's leading brings freedom. The key to being free is not bound by lust or greed, but free to pursue God and his direction for you in his life. I just encourage you to practice convictions before God. Practice convictions. I've always said that. Find out what God wants you to do and practice it. Practice your conviction. But then and I struggled. But God said, I want you to ask this question. And I said, I don't want... So I said, okay. He wanted me to ask this question. He said this. Do you tithe? Do you give 10% of your resources? Then he said, if not, why not? Then he said, what's your biblical rationale or reasoning? I think that the in Scripture that giving, that we start at 10. We start at 10%. That's a good starting spot because he goes tithes, plural, and offerings, plural. And there's so much we can do. There's so much that God wants to do. But I think he wants us to realize there's a blessing that happens when we give. Now, you don't need to believe what I believe. You don't need to believe what I say. But my job as a pastor to you, I don't do very good if I don't challenge you in your thinking. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do what you do? I'm not trying to get into a fight with you, and you can say, hey, so I go, hey, awesome, man, dude, you're free to practice. Do your convictions there. Awesome. But my job as a pastor is to say, is to encourage you to find out from Scripture why you're doing what you're doing. If you're doing something contrary to Scripture, and I'm sitting there going, I don't care, I think I need to at least challenge you in that. If you're sinning, I need to challenge you in that. If we're doing wrong stuff, we need to be challenged by one another in that, or how are we going to change? Challenge produces change. And then all of a sudden, it produces a blessing in our life. And so all I'm saying is, find out what your convictions are and why they're those convictions. A lot of people would say, but I can't do that. Sure you can't. God can. Start somewhere and move towards something. Start somewhere and move towards something. I want to challenge the people who don't tithe to try it and find God's blessing and freedom and being obedient to Him. I also want to thank the people that give something here. Thank you. Thank you for giving of your lives, of your time, of your resources. Thank you for what you give. And I think the Lord wants to thank you for what you give. Those who tithe and give 10%, the starting point, I want to thank you for what you give. Thank you. I know it costs something. And I know it shows where your heart is at. I want to thank you for that. Those who give above a tithe and give offerings, I want to thank you for your faithfulness, for your belief in God, for your radicalness that says, hey, I want to go more in the things of God. Thank you for that. And those who give way above a tithe, a bunch of them, I want to thank you for your generosity. I want to thank you for your heart that's so unattached to finances that it's so attached to the Lord that you have an amazing generosity that's advancing the kingdom of God in amazing ways. And I just thank you for the people that you are. Thank you. Thank you for growing in your faith. Thank you for giving of yourself to the kingdom of God. And as I said, I want to challenge those that who don't give or give below 10% to test God. The scripture, they said it at the meeting as well at our conference. To test God. There's one place where you can test Him. He doesn't want you to test Him everywhere, but here's one place where He says test Him. I don't want you to miss out. And the reason I'm saying this again is I'm not trying to coax you into giving. Don't. I'm not going to coax anybody into nothing. I'm not trying to persuade you. I'm trying to say what it says and allow you to hear it and do what the Holy Spirit says. But the reason I'm saying is I don't want you to miss out on a blessing. Because there's a blessing. It's a principle from God that you get blessed somehow in the process. Let me read the scripture. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. How do we rob him? We're not trusting him. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. And then he says, you are cursed with a curse. Ouch. For you've robbed me. I double ouch. Even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there may be food in my house. And try me. Test me, it says in the King James. Test me now to this. And what I love about that word, try me, it was pretty exciting. Try me. It means to test. But you know what else the word means? Right there in the definition, it means to investigate. I thought, oh, Lord, that's been our theme for the year. Investigate in 21:8. Investigate the things of God. Investigate the things of the Spirit. Get deeper. Get involved. Believe. And all of a sudden, here in giving is this word, investigate. Test Him. Investigate. Get in there and investigate and see if He won't do what He said. Goes on to say, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, remember that's where we're supposed to be storing our treasure, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's big. And not only that, I will rebuke the devourer, I will rebuke the devil for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit. For you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Don't miss out on God's blessing due to not tithing. As I said, it's my responsibility to challenge you, to encourage you, to speak the truth. You do what you feel you need to do before the Lord. But my job is to speak the truth. And your job is you do what the Holy Spirit has told you to do. But there's a great adventure to have for those who are willing to take on the stewardship He wants. Now let me say this. Having said all that, oh wow, look at you do that. You get blessed and this. But I'm going to tell you where I'm at personally. I don't give just so the negatives don't happen in my life. And I don't give just so the blessings do happen in my life. That's not why I give. I give because I want to hear the voice of God. And I want to obey as His steward. I want to fund the advancing of the kingdom of God and see more and more people come to know Him, just like what happened to me. 40 years ago, I was sitting out there. I was out there. Not in this place. We were meeting in at Gladish. I was you. I was the person who had nothing. I was the person learning. I was the person growing. I was the person who got radically saved. My life got dynamically changed. And all of a sudden, I was the guy that came in and I just took everything. I'd had nothing to, you know, try to encourage, come out and help on chores or stuff, but I don't have anything to help out with. But you know what? God took me from that, get radically saved. My whole life absolutely changed. So excited about what God did in my life. Got married, had a family, all of that stuff. Then God yanked me into the ministry. All that He did. And now I'm here. And now I have the privilege on Sunday of doing all that I get to do to speak to you. And then, you know what? He's blessed me in my life, in our life. And all of a sudden we get to give generously. I want to give generously, liberally, crazily, hilariously. I just want to laugh every time we give. When someone's like, hey, there's something more to give. I just do it. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Something happens. You see, I was you. And God changed me because of all of these people over here. God changed me because of the faithfulness of all of them and what they provided for me to get radically changed. And you know what? We're going to keep doing that all the days of our life. And I'm not just talking about college kids. I'm talking about every new person that's here. Someone who's new and is getting saved or coming alive to the reality of who Jesus Christ is. All of a sudden they think, well, this is the thing I add into my life. And all of a sudden God goes inside and changes the person from their core. I know I'm going a little bit late, but I'm going to have to just, okay? Apologize. Let me see what time it is. Just give me about 5 minutes, please. We so love helping people come to Christ. All of you college students, my joy is to see you saved and set free and set on fire for the rest of your life. I don't know why you're here, man. The financial gain is going to be not big. But the eternal gain in your life and where you go and what you do, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. The greatest joy we have is to give to people that have nots, that don't have it right now, so they can be somebody's, that then they pay it forward some other time, maybe. Some other place. God knows what He's doing. And He'll take care. What you give right now, as I said, is not much, but your zeal is awesome. And I get excited every Sunday because I have these college students who are full of zeal. And those college students infect all of those middle-aged folks. And they get excited. And all those older folks get excited. We had 80-year-old people bowling. Why don't Christians give? Why don't Christians give the time, the talents, and the treasure to advance the kingdom of God? Or why do they give so little as the average is 3%? I think a couple here I put down, I think they're afraid they won't have enough. I think sometimes we're lazy. I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to serve. I don't want to help out. Maybe it's a lack of faith. Nah, I don't know about God. Maybe it's greed. I just want more, and if I give you some, I won't have enough. Maybe it's selfishness. You know, every time you give a little bit of your selfishness away. And I want to say this, I started as a very selfish person. I started as a very selfish person. And when God put inside of my heart and our heart to give, she wasn't a selfish person. I was. She was always just, you know, she always gave in her paycheck and stuff like that. She'd always give half of it away. But what God did in me is, I'm the selfish person and I get this idea about giving and then I start to give and okay. And then just said, hey, Lord, what do you want to do? Just give it. I want to be generous. I want to be a generous person. I want to give generously. So I was able to. And you know, as I kept giving and giving generously, my selfishness of who I was as a person started to diminish more and more and more and more. Now, I have a long ways to go. Ask my wife. But you know what? I like who I am today so much better than who I was some 40, 30, 20 years ago. Why? Maybe it's disobedience. Maybe you don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're plugging your ears. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. He'll ask me to do something. I don't want to know. Hey, start trusting Him. Quit plugging your ears and start going, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? With my time, with my talent, with my treasure. Lord, I understand it's yours. What do you want to do with it? Maybe we're not being Spirit-led, but it's the radical approach to Christ that's rewarding, not the safe one. It's the radical approach to Christ that's rewarding, not the safe one. When I got radical for Christ, He started changing my life. And I want to stay radical. My heart for this message is that we walk in freedom. But some people don't walk in freedom because they're walking in debt. And debt doesn't produce freedom. We want to help you get out of debt. We want to help you get out of debt. We're going to be running a program, Financial Peace University. We want to work with you to help you get the noose of debt off you and get you free to answer the leading of the Lord. So whenever a drop of a hat, I want you to do it. All right, whatever, Lord, yeah, I'll give that because I'm free. The class starts this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We're going to have a video at the end. There'll be child care. Think about it. Also, something else happened. And again, I know I'm taking a little bit of extra time, but I try to be pretty conscious of the clock. And I just ask you to bear with me for a moment. Also, somewhat of a grass movement is also starting in our church. We talked about it at our board meeting. Chat a little bit with elders and a number of other folks at another meeting. And we started thinking about what would happen if we canceled the debt of this church. We owe $2.7 million on about $11 million worth of properties that we have here. So we're very, very blessed. We're at the tail end of it all. A lot of people have built this place, spent their money for this place, given to this place, their time and their talent and treasure. And I'm so thankful for that. And we all stand here on the back of somebody else who paid it forward for us. I want to make sure we continue to keep paying it forward so that others and other generations may enjoy the joy and delight of being set on fire for Jesus Christ. But I started thinking about this. What if we wiped out, we have a balloon payment that's due, that 2.7 is due, which we refinance, that's what we were going to do, in 2020. And we thought, wow, Carrie comes up, what about a 2020 vision? Oh my gosh, a 2020 vision. 2020 vision to wipe out the debt in 2020. We got 2.5 years left before that. And I wanted to bring it forward to you. I wanted to hear what you might have to say. And I know not right here. We're going to have a meeting tonight. And for anybody, it's a part of this church, wherever you are. If you like coming here, you're all invited to it. And where's it going to be? Here, right here. Okay. 6 o'clock right here. I would appreciate it. So we call it a family meeting. So if you're here at all and do anything here, just you like coming here, then we want you here. I'd like to see you all here. You're all invited here. Okay. But what if we didn't have to pay a monthly payment? We have about a little over $30,000 a month we pay towards debt reduction on this building. Can you imagine over $350,000 a year we could apply towards missions programs globally, nationally, locally, where we could invest in our community? All the things we could do, getting more staff to get more students and helping more and more people come to know Christ. There is so much, and I haven't given you the whole list of my ideas and thoughts of what we could do with that. But what if in 2020 we're debt-free and we're able to put all this someplace else? How cool would that be? How cool would that be? The faithful people who have built this place have put their blood, sweat, and tears to make this dream happen for all of us and for you college students and new ones. From a simple building in the family center to a multi-purpose facility, the gym, and then to this worship center to make room for a radio station and a daycare and a Christian school. And wow, what could we do? What if? What if? What if? What if you were debt free? What if we were debt free? What if? What if? Why not make it a reality? Why not make it happen? You know, I started thinking about it, 2.7, if we had 1,000 people who paid $100 a month for 27 months, we would do it. And then I thought, wow. And then I knew some people would say, hey, you know, I'll take two of those. You'll take two of the $100 a month things? Yeah, I would take four of them. I'll take five. I had people saying they'd take 10. I had people saying they'd take 20 of them. I'll take 20 of them. I'll take 20 of those 1,000 people. I'll do 20 of them. Then I started thinking, well, we just kind of threw something out, and all of a sudden now I'm going, could this be? Is this of the Lord? I'm not trying to put anything on us. I'm just trying to say, hey, is this something that the Lord wants us to believe for? Part of that faith-filled adventure where we start to believe God for something, and then we watch Him move miracles to make it all happen, and we start realizing we got this miracle-working God who makes it happen. We could put our faith in it? I don't know. I was thinking about rolling this out in October, and I just wanted to give you an idea of what I was thinking, what's in my heart. And I'm scared to death. I told the Lord, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just, I want to know that it's you. I don't care what it is. So we want to know it's the Lord. And I know it won't be equal money, but equal sacrifice. And what if, what if, what if? What if? What if? So please, I would love to have all of you come tonight, 6 to 7. And I don't think there's childcare, so just one half of you would have to come if you have children, one half or one person and not. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Debt free life, debt free living. I think it's what God wants us all to do. And it can't happen for all of us. Now let me conclude with this. And I know, I'll give it back to you in another message somewhere. Maybe. Please don't hear this. Please. Because if you've been here for any long, you know that this is not my heart. They just want your money. They just want your money. We don't. Just keep it. Just keep it. God doesn't need it. I don't want it. But if you hear something from the voice of the Lord, and you want to get on in on something that He's doing, you see, He allows you and me to be involved as stewards in a faith-filled adventure of advancing His kingdom. And I want to see more people saved and set free and on fire for God. I want to see more people around the world worshiping and praising God. I want to see more wells put in and more people nourished and more people helped and more of our materials going out and helping people grow. Who knows? That maybe we're all here today for such a time as this. Would you pray with me? Lord, whew, You're amazing and I love You so much. And I pray for everybody here, Lord, that they would hear the heart of what this message is. A challenge for sure. But Lord, my heart is that they would hear Your voice. Hear what You have to say. Hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches here and then do. Lord, thank You for allowing these people to endure a few extra minutes. But I pray now that You would bless them. As they hear and do, bless them, Lord, beyond what they could possibly even imagine. Open up the floodgates of heaven. Let a blessing come down. We thank You, Lord. We bless You. We ask You to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the reasons I thought about October is that some people may want to start now. We'll have it online. We're going to do some stuff you can give to 2020 Vision. You can start now with something. Maybe it's smaller or something in order to make it happen. And I know college students, you got nothing. What do you got? I got nothing. But you know, you're going home this summer. You'll get something. And maybe God will put on your heart, hey, maybe I'll be a part of that faith-filled adventure and give a little bit. Whatever it is, I pray God's abundant blessing to be upon you. And I ask you to do this. Be a faithful steward of your time, talents, and treasure. Hear the voice of God. And then do what He says, whatever that is. I'll tell you this. You'll be blessed all the days you walk this earth because the hand of the Lord will be upon you. I love you guys very much. As always, considered a privilege. Your pastor. God bless. Hope to see you tonight.